Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It is October 3rd, 2022. Denise Salcedo has never looked better. Just kidding. Denise has the night off.
She's out flying with Method Man.
No, listen. That was the excuse. It's a very serious topic, and it's something I probably shouldn't bring up on the air, but I do want you all to keep Denise in your thoughts. She has violent diarrhea right now, and she couldn't make it to tonight's show. Now, I'm just going to let you guys know, next week I will not have violent diarrhea. I'll be traveling to Canada, so I won't be able to make it. Will also be here next week. But listen, if you can't get enough of this fella, Thursdays, there's Day After Dynamite. Saturdays, there's Grapsody. And now for the next couple of Mondays, we got the wonderful Will Washington. Triple W, I guess. There you go.
Yeah, wonderful Will Washington.
Actually,
my grandfather's name was also Will Washington, except he's Will Woodrow Washington. So therefore, he's also Triple W. There you go. It like goes down a generation.
So was your father's name Will as well?
No, my dad is Lee Washington.
So you skipped a generation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got that name. But yeah, I'm here. I see the chat is like, no, we want Denise. Well, you know what? You're not getting Denise. No, she really is. She texted me. She's like, look, Method Man's on my plane. And I'm like, take a picture with him. And she's like, we are not in the same tax bracket. I am not anywhere near that man.
Oh, my God.
She's like, he boarded far before me and is going to get off also far before I do. So
when I was younger, like How High was one of my favorite movies. And, well, I'll just say this. I made my wife watch it, and I realized it was only one of my favorite movies because it was one of the only DVDs that I had. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of choice because I rewatched it, and it did not hold up. It did not. Like, some of the jokes were very funny, and then the rest of it, I was like,
I will tell you what, one of my close personal friends is in that movie.
Really?
Yes, she's in that movie. One of my oldest friends, people who have known me a long time, even though I podcasted with her at one point, like 15 years ago.
Lark Voorhees.
No. But this person does show her boobs in that movie. in the first couple of minutes, and she's credited in the credits as Method Man's one-night stand. It doesn't have a name. You know who she is in the movie if you know the movie. Yeah, absolutely. One of my closest friends. We talk all the time, probably at least 3 to 4 times a week. Absolutely one of my closest friends, Radha, and she was in that movie.
It's incredible.
She had a whole like 90s, early 2000s run on TV. She was like on Blind Date one time. I'm like still trying to hunt down that episode, but no luck, and it's taken me like 10 years already. But that's another one of my weirdo stories.
You're connected to everybody. Somehow you're connected to everybody. Well, guys, we want to be connected to you. Leave a thumbs up. If you want to get your questions, your statements read on the air, donate a super chat or a humper chat. Some of you might go, what's a humper chat? Because still, to this day, I get people to say, what? A match humps? What does that mean? It is a double entendre, my friends. It is a reference to camels that have humps, as well as something being a humper, as in dry humping, as in the sexual reference, as in it's really good if it humps. And we would appreciate it if you sent humper chats, which you can do before we go on the air, while we're on the air, any of the above. But that gets your questions or statements right on the air, like Carl saying SRS and Triple W. I dig it. Triple W is greater than Triple H. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a triple thing, because even after SummerSlam, there was a run-in on that show, and that's all that Triple H books. So I'm thinking it's something in the water right now. We got WWE Raw tonight. Kate's Chicken Tender says SRS upgraded his step host tonight. It didn't take much. Best and worst food on the road this weekend. Ooh. Damn. Honestly, the dinner at Jeremy's wedding was very good. Like, my favorite meal is corn, mashed potatoes, and fried chicken. I love that's like a very simple, like, Southern meal. I love it. And they had that there, and I loved it. I didn't eat anything really bad this weekend. So, it was all pretty good, honestly. But hey, if you all want to talk about food instead of Raw, that's fine. But we did get a little Antonio Inoki tribute on this show that I wanted to get off with. Unfortunate passing of Antonio Inoki. I think he was even younger than what I had realized, just because I have never known a wrestling world without Antonio Inoki being like a godly regarded name in it. Well, and I mean, even in MMA, like his legendary status would transcend. You would see the footage of Lyoto Machida getting slapped by Inoki. There was the awesome, like, I think it was the year 2000, where he slapped like 42 people in a row to transfer his fighting spirit over, even. And that's what some of the younger generation might know him for, as opposed to the guy that fought Muhammad Ali, the guy who was one of the most instrumental people in wrestling history. What are your memories of Antonio Inoki?
I mean, so again, I have the later memories, right? I have as the guy who was the foundational piece behind New Japan Pro Wrestling, the guy who really transformed the idea of mixed martial arts in pro wrestling, and just being that influential name in pro wrestling. That's who it was to me. That's who I always knew him to be. And that's the legacy he left for me. And that still in itself, when you think about all of the wrestlers who exist with any type of MMA style in their pro wrestling, it all comes back to Antonio Inoki. And and considering how much we see it even on this episode of Raw, there's no doubt about the fact that he had a hand in everybody's style of pro wrestling today.
Go out of your way, guys, to watch Billy Robinson against Antonio Inoki. I'm a bit of a Homer, I'm a catch wrestling guy, but I think that's the greatest match that Inoki ever had. It should be on New Japan World. If not, there are ways. There are ways. I would never encourage you to pirate something, but you got to watch that match. And also, I mean, look back at what he did for Vader. I mean, he made Vader. Like, Vader being able to destroy him in the manner that he did, that carried so much weight. Rest in peace, Antonio Inoki. Sending our love to his friends, his family, his fans, and the like. Volob says, today is the day Will learns how to say my name. A fine Raw it was. Any updates on stage presentation from next week? So in our Fightful Select notes, Will, we had mentioned they're going to be hyping up the premiere tonight. And they do this sort of like every year out of nowhere. They'll be like, the premiere, please watch. Mm-hmm. Please don't watch the football game next week. But I hope they use this as a way to change some graphics, change the song, change the set. Because as we've seen, Triple H is plenty in on changing things. But I think it's a good opportunity to do that. Like, I love the minimalist setup of Clash of the Castle. I thought that was very cool. It looked different than here's a big screen. Do you think that we're going to see anything like that?
I don't know that we do from Raw, because it hasn't been very long with the Raw theme song. It's only been this year. SmackDown like really needs it. It's surprising that that AC/DC song, which when they got it was already like 30 years old, is now the longest theme song SmackDown's ever had. And is that a correct statement?
I don't know, it but it feels it like it. It feels like it. I had to think in about my that. Sleep every Friday night. Are you ready? Oh God!
It's actually pretty good though. But yeah, no, I think SmackDown needs the upgrade more than anything. It's been a really long time since the premiere on Fox. They've had that theme song. Presentation got a little bit of an upgrade, but I don't know. It's interesting to me that you mentioned it. It does feel fairly random when they decide to do it, because like usually it's like first week of October, but I know that next week is the big Brooklyn show, so therefore you don't want to do this in the middle of St. Paul, Minnesota. You want to do this in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center with a crowd that you can count on to be one of your better crowds of the year. I don't know. Why did I lose focus? I'm trying to like get myself back in focus. And that just made it worse. Why?
Oh, no.
There it is.
Mine does that to me all the time, too. Somebody's trying to say that song isn't old. Yes, it's from like 1990.
Yeah.
It's like, it's an old song. Just because it's new, relatively speaking, for AC/DC, doesn't mean that it's a new song. The song is over 30 years old. And here's the thing that I hate about that song, Will. When WWE would send us press clips of SmackDown, we would post them, because why wouldn't we post WWE footage if they allow it? Well, they were fine with it, but AC/DC wasn't fine with it. And their Autobot would immediately get us for the 0.3 seconds of, are you ready? And boom, that's it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's the reason I can't, because I've been flagged so many times for just times I'm at like AEW events, and like the three times that I've attempted to post just to my Twitter account, I'll be in the crowd, Jungle Boy, everybody's doing the hand wave, so I'm like, okay, I'll post this clip, and then immediately flagged, and I've had it happen three times now. So warning people, don't post Baltimore. Tarzan Boy on your social accounts. Guaranteed you'll get hit, you'll get flagged, and it'll be from Sony Music. Happens every time.
So I found out that the reason the Fightful account isn't verified is because we used to do that thing where we'd take the source code from videos and put it in our tweets, and when they get copyright claimed, whoever originally posted it, it also hits us with a copyright claim as opposed to a retweet. So we have so many of those on that account that they haven't fallen off yet. So that's why that account can't get verified, but the Fightful Select one is.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Uh-oh. Yeah.
So if you're...
That explains a lot. Holy moly.
If you're getting rejected often for verification and you've had a lot of those that have been claimed, that probably why.
That's just really interesting. I would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Kate's Chicken Tender says that AC/DC song is older than Denise. Yes, and they both are excreting the same amount of diarrhea from what I see. Kate's Chicken Tender says, my favorite Inoki moment is when he destroyed that fat guy. Oh, the great Antonio got that ass whipped by Antonio Inoki. Please go out of your way to see that. The great Antonio was no selling everything that Antonio Inoki did, and then started to throw some stiff shots. And then Inoki just does one of these and starts to open hand palm strike him and punted him in the head. It was a work of art. It was beautiful. Tom Brady, I'm sure it's that one, says, any idea why the Brawling Brutes are going to NXT? And will NXT have an updated stage and logo tomorrow? Logo, yes. I don't know how much different they can do with the stage because they're in the PC. Main roster talent will be a regular thing on NXT moving forward, just like cameos and stuff and such. But we got Judgment Day cutting a promo. How'd you feel about this? I really feel like this is corny, like constantly corny, and I love the ingredients involved. I even think that tonight was one of Dominic's better performances. Him going, fool my brother and me, hit me, hit me.
Yes, I because you know I have the clip because for whatever reason I went on Amazon, bought every episode of My Brother and Me, watch them constantly. I liked Dominic here a little bit. I liked in the opening promo, you know, and granted, look, I grade Dominic on a
scale,
on a curve at the moment curve. Because of the fact that those that have followed me know I've been really hard on Dominic for the last like year and a half. It's been 2 years. I have been really harsh on Dominic for the last 2 years. And so anything that's like a step up, I'm willing to give him some props for. And I liked here the whole you've been lying to me my whole life. Now, that said, I'm like, why didn't you just watch the award-winning WWE Network where you would have seen for the last however many years, what it was 17 years ago, you would have known because you were a part of that angle that, of course, you were being lied to. But, of course, I'm fairly over the Judgment Day. I thought there were a lot of elements about it that I thought could help regenerate it, refresh it. Sure. But ultimately, I'm still just not sold on this group. I'm not sure what it's going to take. And I'm hoping that maybe it's even a new rivalry. And I'm hoping that something good comes out of what they're doing with AJ Styles. I know some of the speculation on the internet is that he might get some other club members on his side.
I've been asking him every week. I ask him because listen, I love those two guys, but they're the kind that will absolutely just blurt some bullshit out. You know what I mean? Like they'll just be like, yeah, they're paying us this amount of money for this long and we're going there. Well, all right, man. And they would do it like as a rib, but so far I've just been getting, we'll have something to talk about soon. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah. I and I will say I've been in the room for them doing just that. And that is a very true statement. But yeah, as far as I'm hoping if that's the case, that can help refresh this. And that could possibly. I think that could be a really cool thing for Balor to be on the other side of. Granted, it's definitely a rehash of something we've seen a million times. But I think that might help. But at the moment, it is just feeling tired. The match itself was good. I actually did enjoy the match itself, which was, I'm going to steal a point from Brian Alvarez here, which is, I know he sparked a whole debate over chin locks, and I think he's right. I know that all the wrestlers jumped in and came across like, well, you know, it's a foundational part of our matches, but like what he was trying to say there was not to say that rest holds can't happen, but more so if you haven't been like working over the chin, then it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense in the match to suddenly just apply a chin lock for
at 0 points of the years of catch wrestling that I have participated in, watched, viewed, like studied, I have never seen a chin lock applied for longer than 5 seconds without somebody turning into it, dumping somebody on their head, taking their back, anything. But people are sitting there with a chin lock in, with no hooks in, staring around at the audience. I'm like, to me, that is just as unrealistic as people saying, oh, well, there's all these flips and all this stuff. No, man, I consider a world elite level talent not turning into their opponent and dropping them on their head to be more unbelievable than that. Like that's the thing. It's not that I'm against rest holds. It's why always that one? Why that one specifically?
Well, and especially when it's not necessarily a what the match was even working toward. It really has nothing to do with anything that the match had been building prior. Like, you talk about storytelling, like, keep up with the story of the match. That yes. was, like, a thing that kind of took me out of it when Balor had that chin lock on. Other than that, though, I mean, I enjoy all of these guys, and I thought that, you know, we got what we were going to get here. The story, of course, coming out of it was that Rey Mysterio got pulled out of the match. He got distracted by Dominic. Finally, AJ Styles is just sick of this shit because at the end of the day, he wants to win one of these matches, and he wants to win against the Judgment Day, and Rey Mysterio is holding him back. He shoved Rey Mysterio after the match because the Judgment Day got, and then afterwards, the beatdown happened on AJ Styles. Like, I want to see where this goes.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you got to do something else with the Judgment Day. All of this has been going on too long.
AJ feels like a guy, just a guy. And who knows how much longer you're going to have AJ Styles. But it didn't take Vince McMahon long to realize, oh, this isn't just a guy. This is somebody special that I should have had way before I actually did. And I'm sure if Vince had a do-over, he would have never let AJ Styles leave 20 years ago or whatever it was because he quickly was in favor of him.
But like, on the positive side, he didn't have to do much. Like, he didn't have to do any of the legwork for AJ Styles.
That's
true. He had a ready-made guy, came in, literally just got to push him to the moon.
And that's where he struggles. That's where he struggles is doing the legwork. He benefits from when, like, hey, Triple H built this guy or Impact built this guy or New Japan built this guy. That is... He takes them, he puts them in big matches, and that's that. So, I mean, yeah, you're right.
But also, to your point, AJ Styles has been at this with the Judgment Day since the Judgment Day's foundation. It started with AJ Styles. This all goes back to AJ versus Edge at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
This has been going on pretty much all year. I really need something else from these guys.
Michael Key says, good brothers, brother, brother. Hey, Denise, you look different. Orion Ben says they did Dom no favors by having Solo segment follow him. All Dom had to say was, you know who my daddy is? It's Rhea. And Solo says six words and boom. I mean, that's got to be the payoff at this point, saying everybody talks about who my dad is. It's Rhea. And also, I am going to update the article we have that just reads, who is Dominic Mysterio's father? It's Rey. It's Rhea. Joel says, with Balor continuing to stress he's AJ's only friend, do you have any insight on whether this is actually leading to the Good Brothers, or is it more likely AJ joins Judgment Day? Well, I sure hope it ain't AJ joining the Judgment Day, because I don't want to hear him cutting these promos too. Because it's not that they're bad, it's just they're I'm not interested in them. I am incredibly interested in Damian Priest, Finn Balor, and Rhea Ripley as competitors. I think they're all great. But this and what they're having them do is not for me, Will.
Nope, not for me.
Kate's Chicken Tender says, Rey is a bad fodder. Jesus Christ. Bobby Lashley backstage. This was maybe my favorite thing on the entire show. Mustafa Ali is backstage. And Bobby Lashley says that he wants new blood. He wants to face new people. Mustafa Ali shows up and he's like, okay, me, I'm up. Lashley's like, I see you hustling. I'll make sure you get your chance. I'll make sure it happens. And Ali's like, no, I'm getting it tonight. And is like poking him in the chest and all this stuff. Tonight's Raw did a lot for like enhancing the visibility of smaller talent compared to bigger talent, even though the bigger talent won like all of those matches. Like Otis won, Strowman won, Lashley won. But the story of this match was that Lashley could not kill Ali or Ali would not die. He did the Yokosuka cutter. He did all kinds of stuff to Mustafa Ali. Couldn't pin him. Like there were two times I was like, oh, that's going to be it. The spine buster. I thought that was going to be it too. Even though that doesn't finish matches for him, I thought that was going to be it for Ali. He wouldn't get counted out. He got back in the ring. And he wouldn't tap out to the Hurt Lock. He passed out. Now, keep in mind, in the middle of this, you get like these amazing spots, like Ali doing the 450 onto Lashley's arm, which sold me a ticket. I thought Lashley's arm was broke. I rewound it and everything. I thought this was a phenomenal way to reestablish Mustafa Ali for when they absolutely don't use him again for 3 months. But how'd you feel about this one, Will?
So from the top, I thought that the little pre-tape they had done backstage with, or not backstage, I don't know where they were, but when they caught up with Lashley,
backstage
everything. Yeah, it was backstage. He was arriving, and I thought all of that was great. I thought that Lashley, you know, Lashley hasn't always been the greatest talker, but I've always been a proponent of believable talkers.
Yes.
That he comes off, especially in this run, as somebody that I just believe. And he came off well here. And then I thought Ali showed a lot of fire. I thought that the match did exactly what you were saying here. I had one little gripe with it, and it wasn't with anybody involved in the match. But I liked, I agree, the arm spot with Lashley. I believed that for a second there. I thought, oh, is we okay here? But hey, when wrestling sells me a ticket, I am all in on it. Yeah, I actually bought the countout spot. There were a lot of things in this match I bought, and I thought Lashley's facials were really great here, as he just couldn't get over the fact that Ali wouldn't stay down. Lots of stuff I liked about this match. I thought that for the story they were trying to tell, I don't think the crowd quite understood what was trying to be told here, because I thought that the crowd was really just buying into Ali just getting beat down. They just like Lashley beating the hell out of people.
Yeah.
I think that they were anticipating a little bit more of a stronger reaction for Ali and Ali's comebacks and things like that, of like him making it into the ring, beating the 10 count. It felt a lot like, I hate making AEW comparisons because then people are like, oh, you're an AEW show. But like a good example of this style of match being done well is like Wheeler, Yuta, and Moxley, where you have somebody who isn't quite on the other guy's level, but won't stay down, won't die, keeps making the comeback, feels valiant, and eventually wins over the respect of the guy that beat him. I got that that's what this match was trying to do here. I just don't feel like the crowd, and well, the crowd's probably going to be a topic throughout the whole night here, but I thought in this particular match, they weren't quite giving Ali the reaction that I think the match was calling for.
A moment like that, a match like that, can make somebody maybe forever. March 29, 2004, I'll never forget it. Shelton Benjamin beat Triple H. And in that moment, I was like, it's my favorite wrestler right there. Like, what doesn't he have that I like? And not only that, they went above it the next week, and he beat him by count out.
Yeah.
And then like for a while, that was sort of the story, was like, even if he didn't pin Triple H, he was Triple H's kryptonite type of thing. And he couldn't really do anything. And that type of thing can really establish somebody. And I'm hoping that they, even if it's not with Mustafa Ali, I hope that they do that and they really implement that and make something special out of somebody with that. Because in WWE, I think it could work just as well as anywhere. Like, that's like eventually when Roman drops the title, like that's got to be a role for him, where he's out there and he's like, I don't even wrestle on SmackDown. I don't know what I'm doing here. And then somebody beats him or gives him a run for his money, and he's like, oh, shit. But after this, we got Rollins setting up a future feud again with Bobby Lashley, stomping him in the face. I thought this was great how it threaded through. And then Riddle came out. Riddle is, you know, talking about his experience in the fight pit, the fact that Rollins plays second banana to Becky, to Roman. He says he's going to kill
He's going to kill him kill in the fight pit. Bold. We haven't heard that since Goldberg.
Bold. I would have waited until Saudi to maybe do that. Maybe wait till Crown Jewel before you start throwing that little threat around. But hey, Philadelphia, I don't know.
Hey, there's blood in them streets. He is going to kill him. And I liked everything about this. There wasn't a single part of this I wasn't into. I thought that the barbs being traded back and forth were sharp. And, but again, believable from all sides. Really, the only part I wasn't into was the obvious pre-tape from Daniel Cormier. We supposed to be under the, or was he under the impression that he was making the announcement in that? Because I felt like that's kind of how he was wording it. But
I feel like he probably filmed that. He probably filmed it last week. And then a PR person probably hit up Helwani and said, hey, break this news, brother. Because they do that here and there. And that's a smart thing to do, to have the top MMA journalist break it to millions of MMA fans. It's a very smart thing to do. But yeah, I think it kind of undermined what Cormier did there. And I will say this, I know Cormier is close with the Creed brothers. So, I mean, like, he's connected to pro wrestling. When Fightful covered UFC in Buffalo in 2017, we sent like a big team there, and Brandon Thurston was among that team. And Cormier was deep into a weight cut and miserable. This is his 205 weight cut, so he ain't happy. But as soon as Brandon Thurston starts talking about WrestleMania, he brings up like gate numbers, attendance numbers, all that. I posted a clip tonight of when CM Punk was doing a Q&A when he was in the UFC, and Daniel Cormier crashed it, and he goes, hey, is that phone number you gave me really Seth Rollins' number? Because I'm going to call him. Like, he's a big Seth Rollins fan. He was there in Santa Clara for the title win. There's a video of Daniel Cormier in cheap seats, like, marking out over Seth Rollins cashing in and winning the title. So this has long been something that could happen. And honestly, I think that him facing Brock in Saudi at some point will be better than whatever they tried to do with Cain Velasquez, because I don't think Cain was good at wrestling. Just because a couple people saw him in AAA do a springboard arm drag, they went, oh, shit. He did an arm drag. Wow.
Hey, that's the clip era of pro wrestling. If you can literally just clip something and then make it even
game. All the Kane stan accounts. He low-key ate that.
That's exactly how it goes. That's the era we live in, though. And then, unfortunately, when it comes to matches, like, I don't know. I had arguments about that specific match, the Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez match. I had people tell me it was good. I know that whole thing was horseshit. Look, there's
the
nothing...
worst 6 months of a top title booking I've ever seen in my life, maybe outside of WCW. For WWE, I would say probably July 2019 through WrestleMania was the worst top title booking I've ever seen. Like, they made like 10 dumbass decisions that I will never forget.
It can be done right, but for the most part, nothing hurts my soul more than worked MMA. I don't know. I can't stomach it when it's like, I can't. I have yet to see it done fully right and well to the point of where I can suspend my disbelief. Either give me pro wrestling or give me shoot-ish pro wrestling, but don't try to work MMA. It never works.
Yeah. Kate Chicken Tender says, I know it's a long shot, but I wanted to see Toothless Timmy return and cost Riddle to win in a fight pit match. I don't know if in that level of a feud you debut a guy who probably isn't known to that audience, but I think there's a place for him. I thought that his team with Riddle was amazing back in the day, but I don't think that's the right spot. With all the heat that this feud has, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, this feud, especially now, this needs to be the end of the feud. This needs to be, it's been going on quite some time. And I'm looking forward to it. I like fight pit matches. I think that, I think Riddle under Hunter has been so much better. I think that just this feud with Seth Rollins, I don't know if it's this specific feud because it was technically going on before Hunter, or if it is Hunter's influence, because I think he knew how to present Riddle in NXT. I think that Riddle has just come off with so much more fire. He's been so much less of a cartoon character or a caricature, and he's been a lot more of what we knew before, which is, yeah, he's got some goofiness to him, but for the most part, when it comes time for the fight, he is in for the fight. And I think this particular promo, you know, my brain went to when he was throwing all the barbs at him and he says that Seth Rollins, you've never main event at WrestleMania, and I go, well, I mean, kind of
technically, like, technically, yeah, I would count that.
You know, I guess he wasn't booked in the main event, so maybe that's true.
Yeah.
But then, like, Daniel Cormier brings it up literally, like, 30 seconds later, and you can even see Seth's face of, like, yeah, I was in a main event of WrestleMania. But other than that, though, I like all of that stuff. I was sitting there with my son, and he, like, sits up and he goes, Dad, why can't Matt Riddle see his kids? And I'm like, well, Matt Riddle was recently divorced, and he goes, well, why do they have to go with the mom? How come they can't go with dad? Son, we've got a lot to talk about here.
Do you see that 420 bro shirt he's wearing?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, no matter where you are, guys, NordVPN.com has you covered. What? This is the old one. Here we go. Four additional months free, Will. How about this? Four additional months free. You can change your virtual location with just one click. It works on all your devices. Phone, laptop, desktop, PC. I'm pretty sure it even works on that winged eagle back there, that 98 version. I'm pretty sure you can get NordVPN.com/Fightful on that as well. But it also has that online threat protection. You can block online trackers and annoying pop-up ads. And not just that. NordVPN.com/Fightful allows you to subscribe to all those services you want, but you can't get the AEW pluses, the WWE networks, and you'll get pay-per-views much cheaper than what you're paying in the States. UFC pay-per-views, I always get them with NordVPN.com/Fightful, and now you get four additional months free, a 30-day money-back guarantee, a great deal on NordVPN.com/Fightful. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Your bank balance is going to thank you. You'll be able to watch more stuff. It's a good time. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Also, they have three great tiers. So whether you want a pass, a locker, or a VPN, or all three, they got you covered. They have you covered. Kate's Chicken Tender says, non-wrestling super chat, with the trial results of Orton's tattoo case, do you think this will also affect other games, as how MLB The Show and Madden are currently not allowing tattoos? So I am out of the loop on that. I will look that up right now.
I mean, wild precedent that this case sets, because essentially what you're telling people is that despite the tattoos you have on your body, the tattoo artist owns the art. And therefore, because ultimately, I think the payout for this was like $3,000, whatever.
Yes.
But the what this case actually does set a precedent for, though, is the fact that tattoo artists own their art regardless of whose body it's on. And if you are going forward using tattoos in video games, in anything along those lines, any type of additional art that's of the subject that has the tattoo on them, you owe that tattoo artist money. That's nuts. That's crazy.
It is. And it is. They're gonna have to literally create a form for WWE superstars to take to their tattoo artist to like forego that from now on. Like that's gonna have to be a thing. But SAS says, can you talk about those 6 months of bad booking, pretty please? I'll do a full show on it once, but I mean, I've said this before, like it was very stupid how they did it. Brock was money with Money in the Bank. You literally didn't have to have him on the show because he had the briefcase. For all the music being a distraction that we've seen, it's stupid. But when Brock Lesnar's music hits, it's a distraction because you might die, first off. But second, he might take your title. Well, okay. If you're wanting to turn Seth Rollins heel, what better way to do that than have him just go completely paranoid that Brock Lesnar's running around with a fucking briefcase ready to take his title? Well, that's how you enlist Authors of Pain. Why would you get them? To protect you from Brock. That'd be great. The whole Kofi losing to Brock
thing. I was going
to
say,
it didn't need to happen.
The thing is, and even if you're going to do that, look, that was
the
way you turned that around, right? Is that, well, Seth enlisted all this help, but it turned out Brock wasn't even going to cash in on him. He surprised, cashes in on Kofi Kingston, and you still can do the Kofi moment where he loses, but it doesn't have to be a match in which Kofi had a whole week to prepare for and still got squashed.
And instead, Cain Velasquez can piss off somewhere. He can just go get fucked, pardon my language. But that era was so difficult to cover because I had people. I had one person that I will never forget, and I've said his name. It's NXT Julian is who it is. That troll on Twitter.
Oh my God.
Who said to me, had the balls to say to me that the Roman Reigns attacker storyline was as good as season one of The Sinner on USA Network. I almost had a coronary over that. Like, there were still people defending that. And I'm like, this isn't good. It's not good.
Oh, that was truly terrible television. The whole, like, having a camera angle on the thing falling on him was just so bad.
It was bad. It was bad.
Truly awful television. I agree. That nearly soured by watching at the time. But
I'll do a full podcast on that one day. Meet Norman says, "What's good, SRS and Will? My Dynamite seats are front row on the ramp. There's a chance I can scissor daddy ass on National Scissoring Day. Then there's Wardlow versus Brian Cage. Love me some big meaty men. You know the rest. Hose me down and take my money." Well, I appreciate you, Meet Norman. I mean, hey, you practice what you preach there, right? We've got the QR code. I mean, you know the drill with this stuff now. They put a lot of hints in there. It's very, very deep. I see a lot of people saying, like, is this just Bray? Is it from his mind? Bray ain't producing these, my friends. It ain't him. And they've got some help doing this. But Southern by Grace says it's beyond dumb. I was over it after the first one they showed. Just debut the person or don't. Quit acting so hard to make it interesting. Listen, I appreciate the super chat, but objectively it's working. I mean, people are interested in it. Are you interested in it, Will?
Look, I am very anti-Bray Wyatt, and so I have a really hard time. And when I say that, for those of you who don't follow the stuff I do, when I say that, it's from the perspective of
you not liking people with middle school audio-visual class gimmicks.
No, like, supernatural stuff in wrestling is usually never for me anyway, and so that's usually what encompasses Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt for me has always been stuff that's, like, worked outside of the actual execution in the ring, and then once it happens, and this really goes back to, like, pre-Fiend, Seth Rollins had a really kind way of putting it in the interview he did this past week. And sorry, I'm not crediting the publication, and I usually do, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But Seth Rollins did that interview this past week, and he noted how everybody who left a feud with Bray Wyatt usually walked away with some damage. And that's a nice way to put that everybody that Bray Wyatt feuded with for the longest time was never better off for it. And the only people who were better off for it were the people that absolutely killed Bray Wyatt, Goldberg, and, like, Randy Orton at that WrestleMania. But for the most part, nothing for Bray Wyatt when it came to the actual feuds in wrestling ever clicked for me. As far as this is concerned, I'm interested, but from the, like, okay, here's the thing. I'm also a programmer, right? I'm a software developer. It's literally my shoot job. And so I have a lot of fun thinking about how much is going into this, where you have to, like, plant certain things that you expect people to find, but you can't make it too obvious, but you also have to put it in a place where they'll find it. Like putting the Aleister Black lyrics in the HTML code, right? Like, you essentially have to count on somebody hitting Control U, seeing the code in their browser and going, oh, look, these are lyrics. Wait a minute. I think I know these lyrics from somewhere. Yes. And then actually Googling that. You have to count on somebody willing to go down all those steps. So I do appreciate the work that's gone into all of this.
And trying to throw people off with Joe Gacy, Belair, which Belair is a reference to Fresh Prince as opposed to Bianca Belair. The Corbin stuff, because where's Baron Corbin been?
Where's he been?
Where's he been? Well, what all is in Corbin? A bunch of stuff that leads to White Rabbit, Bray Wyatt, etc. There's a lot of... I do appreciate the effort that's put into these. I do. I think it's good. On your marks, Lou says, do you think these White Rabbit clues have anything to do with potential faction members? I think the best version of Bray Wyatt was creepy back with Bray Wyatt. I've said this a million times. I believe in... horror movie final boss more than I believe in guy who took a seventh grade audio visual class and puts worms on the thing. Like I, that's what I like. I believed that if I walked 10 minutes west of my house into the woods, I might run into those three sons of bitches. I might run into Luke Harper, Bray Wyatt, and Eric Rowan, and I'd be like, oh no, I'm going to get stuck in their shed, and they're going to just stab me for days. Like, that was realistic to me.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that, because I actually liked Backwoods Bray a lot. I thought NXT Bray had it. I think that once it got to the main roster, I feel like Vince couldn't resist just making him a supernatural like Scary Witch, right? And like my beef with supernatural elements in pro wrestling is that they're inconsistent. I said this on Grapsity a couple weeks ago, because like somebody was like, well, what about The Undertaker? And I'm like, look, I always had a problem with the idea that if The Undertaker could shoot lightning from his hands, why not just zap his opponents and they just fucking burst and die? Yes. Like, why have matches at that point? If you can teleport, why does a three count ever exist? This should just be one, two, and you're gone. Like, essentially, the logic breaks the moment they can't use it all the time. Is it like, once the bell rings, we have to stop using all magic? Why? Who cares? You have magic. So I could never wrap my head around that. And look, I'm a guy who grew up with having nightmares from Papa Shango. Papa Shango literally haunted my dreams. I thought that my head could one day bleed motor oil. But instead, I had to watch it happen to Warrior, and it made me cry. I had to call my mom and turn the TV off. So, like, it's not that I don't get that it creeps out little children. It's just not for me. That's it.
I have a couple more super chats about this. Ryan says, I see a lot of people losing their mind on this less QR code, but can you please confirm that Baron Corbin and Joe Gacy are not the White Rabbit? The White Rabbit, they're not. I can't say definitively whether or not, you know, they'll be involved with this or not. Like, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But we got White Rabbit news all the time on Fightful Select. Today, we have a bunch of stuff on Fightful Select. Raw plans right before the show. We had some early creative notes. We had some news and numbers on the Royal Rumble ticket sales. We also had news on Cody Rhodes, world title. A lot of people that were around that situation, and a lot of people thought, oh, Cody Rhodes is going to win the title this summer. We got a bit of news on that. And also right now we have the Sour Graps post-show review. They were going to fill in for us tonight. I got home a little bit early, so me and Will are here. So head over there. They got the Sour Graps review, and you all can start watching that whenever the good guys are done, honestly. I mean, they'll probably be on air for 3 hours anyway, knowing them.
Yes, and over there you get Damage Katarl.
You do get Damage Katarl. I think of Katarl every time because of Homer Simpson on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Kate's Chicken Tender says, one thing I've noticed with the QR code, they're treating it the same way they did the background puppets. No one on TV is mentioning them whatsoever other than WWE Twitter sometimes. That's how they do it. And I mean, it's creating a good kind of buzz, I think.
Definitely. I like all the buzz it's creating. I think that's all really cool stuff. I just hope at the end of the day it executes in like good wrestling. And I don't know how you pull that off. And I'm hoping that Hunter is better at it than Vince was.
We got Miz Loomis backstage. Johnny.
And then you bring this up, so I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Like, listen, they're very much implying butt stuff here. I've said it from the beginning. That's the thing. They're implying it. It's another creepy Loomis segment. Loomis, he still hasn't wrestled, has he? What a phenomenal gig if you can get it. What a fantastic job if you can get it. This man has been hired by wrestling companies to draw things, to stalk people in multiple companies without wrestling. He was the original voice of 10 Pounds of Gold. A lot of people don't realize that on the NWA documentaries. He probably didn't get paid for that, though. but if Nick Aldis wasn't getting paid, he definitely isn't getting paid. But, I mean, like, phenomenal work if you can get it. Shout out to Dexter Loomis for getting that money. Do you have any particular thoughts on this?
This stuff has not been for me, and I really wanted it to be. I liked it at first. I liked when it was the kind of background distraction stuff. The way it was all introduced, I thought was really cool. And then because it was so unlike the way WWE presents things. And, you know, him getting arrested in the background, all of that stuff, it ended up spilling its way into NXT just to tie up that loose end. All of that was cool, but somehow, some way, it still devolved into just like hokey WWE Vince era stuff. I thought the cutting of the ring the other week was really bad. And that almost didn't need the zoom in. I thought the zoom in, if you had done that as a wide shot, I think it probably would have looked better. But when you came up close and it looked so hacky, it looked bad. And then this particular segment here backstage, I thought was just more of the same, just kind of silliness. And it's not hitting for me. It stopped hitting weeks ago. And I am very much looking forward to it coming to an end.
Ryan Ben says, props to Johnny and Loomis for the Trading Places reference. Well, Miz wakes up, and you know, one of my favorite parts about waking up when I was a kid was all the delicious cereal, Will. But as you get older, you can't just eat cereal. It's full of sugar, unhealthy food, carbs, all that stuff. Not with magicspoon.com/Fightful. It has all the flavors you love. It's high protein, low calorie, keto friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, all the things you need to have cereal without the guilt. One of my favorite things about Magic Spoon cereal is one bowl fills you up, so you're not running back and forth to the cupboard. Anytime I get regular cereals, I'm tearing through like half that family-sized box in one sitting. And then I feel horrible afterwards. Not with magicspoon.com/Fightful. And right now, go to magicspoon.com/Fightful. Use that code Fightful. Save $5 off your order. You can get a custom bundle as well if you want to try a lot of the different flavors. But they have all the flavors you love, my friends. Check it out. Take yourself back to those days. Have a better wake up than Miz had. Magicspoon.com/Fightful. We greatly appreciate them. Broadway Joe says, gonna politely disagree with Will, and he does so with a very generous super chat. Says, not having Bray teleport everyone in the funhouse during the Thunderdome will always be a missed opportunity, or doing a zombie invasion with Abaddon and AEW. Give me full on fantasy. I agree with you, Will. I can't get behind this. I thought Firefly Funhouse was amazing and was specific.
It was unique. It was cool. Yeah.
Specific to the era we were in. That's the thing. It was specific to that era because they had to get creative. And during that period, I was like, I don't give a shit what you do. Shoot Bray Wyatt out of a cannon as long as it's entertaining. Like, I'm at home. All like people are dying. People are sick. Like, I just wanted some entertainment at that point. But I don't want, the zombies from Battleground or whatever the hell that was that they did. I don't ever want that again. That was horrible. Dream Ninja says, I'm with Will. Don't care about Bray. Don't care about Braun either. Here for all this women's wrestling. Dig the QR code because it gets people talking, but nothing would top a Sasha return. I mean, I still have no idea what's going on there. Every 2 weeks, I got somebody say, you better ask about Sasha. You better ask about Sasha. I have been since May. Ask every week. Kim Gray says, my son is so stoked over this white rabbit. He's like a detective figuring out this stuff on his own. If anything comes of this, it's helped him think. Hey, that's a good silver lining. I love it. N. Simmons says, hey, where's Ciampa? Miz doesn't know. He says he hasn't seen him in weeks. I'll find out. Dakota Kai defeats Candice LeRae. Now, there were some little adjustments to this match. Candice LeRae losing very quickly upon her return. Week two, I mean, technically 7 days after. Listen, I love Dakota Kai, but I was surprised by this, especially considering like WWE doesn't seem too keen on like setting up a tag team title program or anything like that. Will, what'd you think of this?
So I'll start by going back a week in that I hate to be one of those, hey, you should have video packages for people. But I thought that cold dropping Candice LeRae into the show in hindsight was a mistake. I think that the reaction wasn't great. And I thought that fans probably could have used a little bit of a refresher on who she was, simply because, you know, just the math isn't there, right? Like, you can't count on people just knowing your NXT stuff. Unless it's like the bigger names, you can at least count on some of that stuff having made its way into the vision of Raw viewers. Like, you know, that Johnny Gargano, people knew who that was. Yes. Even if you weren't watching NXT, you probably at least saw a recap of a takeover or a commercial promoting NXT on Sci-Fi, or not Sci-Fi, on USA. NXT on Sci-Fi, that just took me back to 2010. But NXT on USA, and just seeing those ads and all of that, like, you probably were aware. But, like, I felt like the audiences have not been aware enough of Candice LeRae. And I think that they did a disservice to her last week, just kind of putting her out there against Nikki A.S.H. And I thought this week they just did more of the same. They put her out there against Dakota Kai. And I thought that as much as I wanted to get into this match, I love Dakota. I thought that, again, another crowd issue here. They were not into this whatsoever. They couldn't get behind Candice. And I thought it hurt pretty much everything they were trying to present here.
They have plenty of time to show these videos. Like, if you've ever been to a WWE live show, especially for the live crowd, it is like you see 20, 30, 40 minutes of commercials. I remember I listened to a Skillet song 9 times one taping I was at. I didn't need to hear that. And that might be being conservative.
Like I said, there's just ways you could have introduced her to the show. And I think that they didn't do right by her. I think this was a little bit of Hunter because of the fact that, you know, you brought in Dakota, got a really strong reaction at SummerSlam, brought in EO, really strong reaction at SummerSlam, but you're also dealing with a slight different crowd. You may not be getting that in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I think Candice and a lot of people just could use better introductions. And she's one of them. I wanted to see more. I want to see more.
I thought several of the related things to this kind of missed tonight, but there were some stuff that I liked. Farr said they were chanting Candice. Excuse me? I didn't hear like deafening chants. Maybe I need to go back and watch it.
Yeah, maybe I do as well. I was watching this whole thing intently because this was one of those rare times where I didn't have my attention on Monday Night Football and three other things. So I'm like, no, I'm hosting this show tonight. I have to make sure it has my undivided attention. Maybe I missed that, but it didn't feel like the crowd was even really all that into this to begin with.
Jam Beard says, I better ask about Sasha. I'll also ask why Velveteen Dream hasn't been fired yet. We had the Bianca Bailey contract signing, and like Bailey went through like a full villain rant here. Like, she went through her whole origin story, and Bianca's just like, shut up, and signed the thing.
I love this. I liked it last week too, because this was exactly how Bayley got shut down last week. She went into a whole rant about how you were handpicked by this company and I worked my way up. And Bianca is so good at shutting that down in a way where almost nobody has ever been able to shut that down as well as she has. Like, that's a thing people have thrown at Cena for years. And usually that person can sound justified, but Bianca's like, shut up. If you were me, you'd be me, and you're not.
Exactly. And she's so likable when she does it, too. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I absolutely loved that. I was actually digging Bailey telling her story and basically trying to relate it to Bianca, and Bianca, again, just shutting it down and going, the reason that you lost the fans is because this is the real you. And you weren't authentic, but I'm always me. I'm the real me. And that's why the fans and I continue to have this connection. It dragged a little long, but ultimately, I liked everything that came out of this. And this is probably the match this Saturday, I'm the most excited for.
I'm so glad the pay-per-views are on Saturdays. Are you all doing Grapsody Saturday or Sunday?
Oh, I guess I didn't think about that.
Hey, if you do it Sunday, we can actually do a Bound for Glory show. Denise can actually do her Bound for Glory show Saturday.
Okay.
Just to say.
I will talk to Philip and Reginald.
Just saying. So we've also got Young Hitta saying, is no one going to talk about the second QR code during the contract signing? 2:05 53 seconds in. I think it was on the contract. I don't know if anybody got that, but yeah, I mean, that's a good spot too. But afterwards, Asuka had gotten pilmanized backstage. I like that. But what I didn't like was whatever it is they had Alexa do. Like,
she stared at the camera one too many times.
Tonight! I was like, come on, man.
I thought she was like waiting for a cue and then didn't get it and was just still waiting for it and didn't get it. And then finally got the cue to go ahead and make the challenge. And I'm like, look, I saw the Raw plans. Thank you, Fightful Select. But I just want to know when you're going to challenge Io.
Yes. We did have the spoilers that this would be the main event. And it did main event with Io Sky winning another distraction. But I got to say this, that moonsault to finish it was a beauty. Dick the Cock Johnson says, seems as though Bianca may need two ladies for backup. Hmm. Yeah, so they got beat down after the match. This felt like it went on forever. Felt like they smashed Asuka's poor ass with the ladder. Like, waited for her to slide in. They're like, no, right to the ass. And then there it went. Lorenzo says, do you think Sasha and Naomi are returning Saturday since Damage Control took out Alexa and Asuka? Do you think that's how it happens?
No. I think this is how, for now, Bayley gets the championship. I think she wins. I think the ladder match is kind of the perfect setup to not have to pin Bianca, have the odds against her with Damage Control not on her side, and ultimately Bayley walks away with the championship. Bianca still gets to look strong and valiant, but coming up short. I think ultimately this, I don't know anymore. Like, at one point I was like, okay, they're definitely coming back. And then I thought maybe Survivor Series, Boston, War Games seems like the perfect place to have Sasha Banks return. And that's been where my brain's been this entire time. I think you can get a monster reaction in that hometown. But I think right now, this needs to serve as, I think it would be a bad spot to bring her back. I think that this isn't it. This Sunday, Saturday. Sorry. I'm in the habit still of thinking WWE premium live events are on Sundays, but they're on Saturdays.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
It's so great.
Dorian says, why haven't they had Asuka wrestle the past 5 weeks? She wrestled a couple weeks ago on live events. As far as TV, I don't know, but she was teaming with Alexa on live events recently. K775 says, do you think Alexa or Asuka will turn on Bianca Saturday and cost her the title? I mean, I don't think we're past the possibility of Alexa just joining a Wyatt family again. I think that they can't help themselves and they'll go to that eventually. As far as I don't know.
I think turning on, I mean, because they got their asses beat. Turning on Bianca at this stage would make no sense. Yeah. Because you would essentially be aligning with the people who, like, I would not align with anybody that pilmanized me. I just couldn't.
Of course.
No friggin' way. No chance. Yes. I think that would be a really bad turn. I don't think that's where that's going.
Chicken Tenders Jambeard also says that feud, the Buddy Roman situation and Brian situation gave us twin red beards. It was so bad. It was so bad. I don't know if Brian Zane has done like a video on that yet, but I can't wait till he does. We had, I thought, a pretty fun couple of matches. Otis defeating Johnny Gargano.
Didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that coming at all. It sort of made sense within the story. I just hate that it was surrounded by so many other like distraction, interference, and all that. But Austin Theory, and it seems like Austin Theory is sort of moving in on Otis a little bit too. He's like sort of taking control of Gable and Otis. But Johnny gets cracked in the head. It makes sense that he would get beaten by a guy like Otis after that. I thought the match was good. This leads to Braun coming out and having a slapper with Chad Gable. I just want to say, as Zach says, I popped so hard for the German to Braun. It was easier for Chad Gable to German Braun than it was for Braun to powerbomb Gable. And I love that. I love that.
That is wild, but true. And
but I loved all this. I thought this was a blast. This whole connected thing I thought was good. Austin Theory doing the A-Town Down thing. I still think it's corny as shit, but
my God, throwing that into a pro, that was the corniest way I've ever seen anybody ending a promo. All right, look, I have to talk about A-Town Down as a theme song. I just do. Guys, A-Town Down, it's a phrase, came out of Atlanta hip hop scene. If you're going to use it, at least have a song that even remotely sounds like it's out of Atlanta. Yes. And there's plenty of artists that you can draw influence from. There's Luda. There's Outkast.
Draw influence? AEW books like 10 rappers every time I go to the area.
There's anybody you could have drawn inspiration from. And
give
instead,
you a song.
You have the least A-Town sounding song going, A-Town Down. Nothing in Atlanta sounds like that. Nothing out of Atlanta sounds like that. Go find literally anything else if you're going to use that phrase. WWE.
AEW is like getting the literal guy who does Welcome to Atlanta to pop up to pop Stokely Hathaway.
Yes. And like literally. Call Jermaine Dupri. Call anybody. Yes. Call anybody out of the Atlanta scene to just come, even just supervise. You don't even have to have them do the song. Just have them stand there in the studio and go, okay, this isn't it at all how anything out of Atlanta would sound. Hate the song. It drives me nuts hearing that song yell A-Town Down.
And that was the only mark on what I thought were like three really great segments. The Strowman-Gable match, the Otis Gargano match. I even thought it made sense for Gargano to lose. Luis says, Chad Gable forever. And Joel says, I'm glad they aired that Chad video package on Braun that he posted on Twitter. Really got over their history. So
yeah, I liked all of that.
So I want to say, I hope they don't do that regularly in that way. I love the Road 2 style videos, but doing it in the WWE promo style, like, interview was so funny to me. Like, it was so hilarious because I couldn't take it seriously, because what it reminded me of, Will, was those Maury Povich setups.
Yes.
Terry says that he is not the father and I only slept with six other men before. I know he is the father. And
that baby,
like,
is not mine. I don't know whose that is. Look at that picture right here. That is not my baby. That is not mine. You know, look at it. Look at this, Maury. That is not my baby.
Oh my God.
Ugh. Daytime television, folks. If you ever to stay home from school or didn't have anything to do in your summertime, Maury Povich, Jenny Jones,
favorite.
Ricky Lake.
I think it was Maury Povich, where he would have people on that had phobias.
Yes.
And this one was a girl who was afraid of balloons.
I knew you were bringing that one
yes,
up.
They yes. put it up on the screen, and she was like, ah, ah, and she ran. And he goes, oh, you don't want to go back there. You don't want to go back there. And she ran into a bunch of balloons. Oh, no. And, the way you move edit of You Are Not the Father, where the guy dances. Oh, it's amazing.
All great stuff. Daytime television has not been the same. Although, I learned of a streaming service, Nosy, that has all of those shows. It has Maury. It's got all of them. Nosy, give me a sponsorship. I will absolutely hawk your product, because I truly believe in watching daytime trash television. And if you can binge it, are you kidding me? If I had a service I can watch Jenny Jones on, just so I can see all of those old episodes, including the Mickey James episode, where she was on a Geek to Chic episode, and she comes out to confront her bully. Like, great stuff. If you've never seen it, Google Mickey James, Jenny Jones. It's out there. But
well, the only way that they can salvage Judgment Day is if Rhea brings out Maury Povich to tell Ray he is not the father and that she is the poppy. That's the only way they can salvage this.
You can do it.
It has to happen. Jambeard says the results are in. You are not the father. And King of the North says, imagine Jermaine Dupri standing in the back watching Death Rebel slap every button on their keyboard. Theme. Oh, God. I would love him to watch CFO. And they're like, and here's what we do after 30 seconds. Loop.
Loop. Loop.
Loop. Loop.
You know what, though? I will give props to CFO for working smarter and not harder. Look, Jim Johnston will go out there, make entire songs, and you'd only ever hear like 30 seconds of them anyway. Yep. People only knew the hooks, whatever. CFO was like, look, all we need is a chorus and half a verse, loop it.
Yes.
You're never going to hear anything else anyway. Just run with it. It was smart stuff. And then Def Rebel's just like, hey, let's just whip some stuff up in GarageBand.
Guys, leave a thumbs up. Get your super chats and humper chats in. We are heading down the home stretch. Carl says Ricky Lake and Jenny Jones. Goodness gracious. My mom would watch Montel Williams, too. That was too serious for me. Jordan Scott says, at this point, I'm waiting for someone to knock Theory out and yell, peace up, A-Town down, and Usher comes running out. I mean, I will give WWE credit for one time, like when they had somebody get hit by a paint can and then Macaulay Culkin just rolls out. And I was like,
yeah,
that's amazing. The Edge promo. Oh, God, I thought this was awesome. He talked about how his family is involved in this feud with Judgment Day now. And he didn't even want them involved because they don't even like what he goes through now. Like, when he's going down the stairs, his kids hear his bones pop and crack and all that stuff. Beth was getting involved, and she was never supposed to be there. By the way, almost no payoff for that. She just popped up one week, and that was that. But Edge bringing up the family here, I thought he killed it right here. I always think promos like this should be utilized more than the, here, I'm going to take a mic and tell you everything that I hate in front of a huge audience. But how'd you feel?
No, I loved all of this. I thought that it was nice to see. You know, Edge talked about that. The first thing he said in the promo was, you know, I have been a little bit of a character since I've been back. And this is, but, you know, lately I've been a lot more me. And that's what I love seeing from people. I love when wrestling is real. And I don't mean shoot, but what I mean is when I feel like I can connect with people. And look, I am 35 this year, and I'm a dad of two. I can certainly relate to certain things. I haven't had a career-ending injury or anything along those lines, but I'm definitely out of shape. And so I hearing the things that he's talking about there were things that just felt personal and felt relatable. And he brought it back around to the fact that, look, I introduced Judgment Day to the world. And he talked about how he doesn't know how much more time he has left. We do, because we knew the length of his contract. But he talked about how not knowing how much more time he has left. And I liked all of it. I liked everything he had to say here. And he brought it back around to the one thing he never did was quit. And he talked about Ask Taker, Ask Cena, Ask Foley, Ask all these guys I was in rivalries with. I don't quit. And I will not quit. I'm not going to quit this Sunday in the I Quit match.
I love it. I thought it was effective. It did what it was supposed to do. I thought it was rad. Jam Beard says, Phil Donahue for the win. And Joseph Molina says, anyone remember Richard Bey? I don't remember Richard Bey at all.
No. I don't know who that was.
Arch says, can we discuss fans who both watch WWE and AEW and they specifically not to Google a talent they have never heard of and they have a match on AEW, but go out of their way with all the QR code stuff. Seriously. I mean, I don't think it would hurt AEW to post, to do like a 1 minute video, and they've seen that and they have adjusted that. I personally think that if Mance Warner wore a QR code on his singlet, none of us would be talking about this. So,
I mean, I said that, maybe it is in AEW's interest to just like steal a little bit here. Put a QR code up on the screen and it just leads to an episode of Road 2. And yes, it's like, look, you need a little bit of background on this? Here it is on the screen. Go
I like
watch.
That.
I'll say that because it is, I do feel it's a little bit disingenuous when the argument comes up. So you have to just keep in mind who you're engaging with when you decide to engage in that argument. Because like AEW's had introductions that were kind of blind that just worked. Look, they just dead dropped Eddie Kingston into the show. It was freaking awesome. You were just like, okay, this guy's just coming out here talking shit, facing Cody, and you loved it. The same with Ricky Starks. Actually, with Ricky Starks, you got like maybe, what was that, like a 45-second video package, and then you got a Ricky Starks match. You've had guys who have had success out of being dead dropped into the show. It's a matter of your willingness to basically accept it and what it plays into and how it's followed up on. The wrestling is never going to be a one size fits all type thing.
Yep.
Where you can just blanket say that this thing worked, so this thing else, this other thing has to work. It's never the case. This QR stuff really is doing its best to engage fans. And I think that you have to commend WWE for that, if you're actively pulling people into wanting to solve the mystery, that's a little bit different than leaving them with kind of nothing. And I don't care about, because I'm well aware of who Mance Warner is. I'm well aware of who Juice Robinson is. So like, I don't care about these arguments at all, but I say that it doesn't really compare because one is still actively trying to get you to do things, and the other isn't quite. Some people need their hands held.
Yep. King of the North says, give Luis a pay raise super chat. He rules. Well, Luis is too busy spending his money on sending a super chat saying, there's a show in Mexico called Laura, similar to Maury, and the catchphrase is, bring in the bastard in Spanish. God damn! That rules! That is incredible. I don't know how I can follow that, but Ryan Boulding earlier sent an incredibly generous super chat, and I want to spend some time on it. He says, will they take the bloodline implosion all the way to Mania? Roman loses one title before, loses one title to Cody night one, loses to Rock night two. Sammy and KO take the tag titles too, or is that too long of a slow play? Well, I don't think Roman's going to wrestle both nights of WrestleMania, because if you can get The Rock, you do not risk that match in any way whatsoever. I think they should separate the titles, but triple threat match can do it. He can defend one of them in the Rumble. There's a billion different things he could do there.
I'm going to disagree with Sean Ross Sapp here.
Okay.
I want far less titles here. As a matter of fact, I'm going in the other direction. I think merge the women's titles. I'm actually cool with there being just one belt at this point. Look, in the freaking brand splits, I've actually been...
I mean, pretty much are.
I know, and that's why I'm like, you know what? I feel like the title suffering the most right now, to be perfectly honest, is the SmackDown women's title. Because at this current moment in time, like look at SmackDown last week. You had Bayley on the show, and then Bianca Belair comes out and confronts Bayley on SmackDown. The Raw women's title picture has gotten so big that it's now spilled over onto the other show, and you still have the other SmackDown women's title that's just kind of like there. Like you have Ronda Rousey, who does feel like a star, but ultimately is fighting over something that the rest of the show doesn't seem all that interested in. I think if you are going to do what they're doing, which is just bleeding everybody into whatever show, you should have one title representing things. I think the issue is that Roman's not full-time, so therefore you don't have a title on either show. So I think people default to, well, I want to have at least one title, so give me something. But at the end of the day, I want just a full-time champion represented both places. And I know I'm not going to get that out of Roman, but no, honestly, I don't need two titles in any division. Except, matter of fact, the only titles...
If the brand split is effective, that's what I need. I just need I just need the champion to show up.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that. That's the thing I want. But I will say that in having all of this kind of brand bleeding going on, the one thing I actually kind of like is that through all of it, the two titles that have stayed consistent, and these are the titles that I think need to stay where they are, is United States, Intercontinental. I think keeping those separate has actually worked, and leaving those as like the brand specific titles, and then everything else that represents just have it crossover.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that could be good. Jambeard says, bring in the bastard should be Pyro Pox theme. I love that too. Well, we had an interaction between Solo, or actually all the Bloodline besides Roman, who will be there next week, and Street Profits. So Montez has a boot on, but careful how I word this. I don't know if he's hurt or not, because that was a prop boot. And I know it was a prop boot because it was brought on the prop truck to Raw. And I know this, but I don't know. Maybe he's actually hurt and they're doing that. But either way, it set up Angelo Dawkins.
Fight. Speculation here.
Yes.
Framing it in speculation. But I will say that the things I've known about pro wrestling to be true are that you typically just wouldn't put them in any type of action in that regard. Yes. To even be in the way of the action if there was a risk that could come to worsening an injury like that. So that's...
Well, Angelo Dawkins got a crack at Solo Sikoa. This was a mess at times because of the story they were telling contingent to it. But I love Angelo Dawkins, man. Like, he's killing it right now. I've been saying it week after week. Solo Sikoa has to get these reps, and that's his role, is that right now he's the wrestler in Bloodline. Like, he's doing all the wrestling. He's their young boy, but he's also their enforcer. And I love, like, little things like Jay being like, that's my brother, I'll talk to him. And Sammy's like, okay. Like, there's such good character work being done here. Like, it's just, they're killing it across the board. And Tony says, so what, the Bloodline plot has a twist and Jay turns on the group because of Sammy, brings in The Rock. I feel they can do this if Jay causes the Bloodline war games because he does something to Sammy, which forces him to quit. I don't think they'll go that route.
You also can't do that while they still have the tag titles. And you can't.
Exactly.
And if the plan to get rid of the tag titles is Sammy and KO, which some people are all kind of speculating that's where they're going, then you essentially blow off the Sammy leaving the Bloodline story before Jay. So I don't know how you do that
without,
while they still have the tag titles.
Sikoa did get the win. And we got Anti and Brick saying, speaking of the brand stuff, any word on the draft? Are they slowly blending brands together? It was not on the internal calendar for USA Network. That much I can say. I had somebody saying like, maybe around Mania time or something, but that wasn't like a firm plan. But I thought that this, even though, you know, I hate distractions, I hate all that, this is to set up the most important story in the WWE for the last 2 years. And this is to further that without that top character there. So I found this incredibly useful. We got JB asking if I can find out who came up with the idea of putting Sammy in the Bloodline. Actually, I need to find that out. That's really good. And N. Simmons says, Zayn and Jimmy laughing and Solo breaking character was funny. Sammy has to defeat Roman. I don't want it to be Cody. Sammy and Jay can wrestle at the Rumble. But Sammy has to become champ while he's white hot. Are you of this camp that believes that Sammy could beat Roman?
No. I think that Sammy... I really do think that Sammy and KO... I think it's just as effective. I think beating the Usos, who are weeks away from becoming the longest reigning tag team champions in WWE history. And I... Don't do the thing you did with the New Day where they lost it like the day after they crossed the record.
Yes.
Give it time.
They do that a lot.
Yes.
It drives me nuts.
I know. Like, give this one time. Draw it out here. Let there be a clear distinction between the first and second here. But again, they're right around the corner from breaking that record. I would like to see it happen. Mm-hmm. I think. Somehow, some way, they seem to be heating up the New Day a little bit. What I would do in this case is, I know we've seen it a million times, Usos versus New Day, but I think there could be stakes to it if you put the titles on the line between the Usos and the New Day, like as close to them tying the record as possible. So that way, like, the New Day is the only thing that can stop them from beating this record, and have the New Day trying to protect their top spot, and then eventually they retain over them. And then we go with the Bloodline, the Usos, against Sammy and KO somehow. I don't know how we get there. It's now clear that we don't need Sammy to be the one outsmarting them. I don't know how we eventually do it. I think I kind of do. Okay. So now that I said that out loud, I feel like Roman came off so endearing when he gave that hug to Sammy in yes. that opening segment of SmackDown. When Sammy hugged him, he looked kind of annoyed, and then he gave in, he smiled, he hugged him back, and the fans really bought into that. So, of course, Roman's got to be the one who turns that all around, who betrays everything, all the trust you just gained from him. He's been the one who's been, you know, he's kind of taken to Sammy. He kind of likes him. He's a little annoying, but he's cool. Yes. You know, he's been the one. So he needs to be the one ultimately who gives the go-ahead to stick the dagger in his back. But I think ultimately, because the Usos are going to have had such a prolific title reign, it's just as effective for Sammy. It really, Sammy's beef here is with Jey Uso. I think it'll end up being just as effective for them to win the titles there. I honestly think when he does it, it has to be pinning Jey Uso. It has to be Sami Zayn pins Jey Uso when they win those tag titles.
I agree. I completely agree with that, because that's the story. Sami and Jey doubting, or whether it's doubting or jealousy or whatever it may be. And I really think that Sokoa being so like loyal to Sami really adds to this. Like, yes. it really accentuates it so much, because Jey has another reason. Even him being like, that's my brother. Like, he's just constantly reminding him, that's my brother. Well, Solo got the win here. Angelo continues to kill it. That was WWE Raw. But again, if you want more Will Washington, he's all over the place, especially here on Fightful. Over the next 7 days, you'll see him 3 more times, including here again for Raw. But tell the people what you do. You also have a show with Denise every week. Sorry That's to right. hear that. But
yes, Denise and I host a show called After the Week. It's just getting started. We're only 4 episodes in. But yes, Denise and I host After the Week. That's every Sunday. And that's at youtube.com/DeniseSalcedo. And it's getting more fun each week. We're tweaking the format a little bit. We decided not to end the show on a sour note, so we're no longer ending the show with our worst pick of the week. Now it's... we now end on our best of the week, so that way we're not like, this freaking sucked. Anyway, bye. So that's fun. I do host Grapsity every Saturday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's not going anywhere, except it might go to Sunday, depending on when I talk to the guys today. And we also host a show every other week called Ask Grapsity. Mm-hmm. It's turned out to be an every other week kind of thing. We weren't sure when we were going to do it. We didn't really have a schedule plan, but every other week is sounding like the way we're going to do that, because it really just depends on when there's stuff to answer. I got really, really deep this past week because somebody asked a kind of a triggering question. And I ended up talking a whole lot about my marriage and got into stuff that I typically don't get into on podcasts. If you want to check that out, that's at FightfulSelect.com. That's the latest episode of Ask Grapsity. And then also I host Day After Dynamite every Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern. That is noon Pacific. Yeah.
And there's always Eastern. Something that emerges the day after.
Every Thursday. Every Thursday. Something that emerges. We talk about that. I have a special guest. Some have been calling this show kind of the bridge, because yes. I always have a guest on Day After Dynamite. Sometimes it's a guest that's known well in advance. Sometimes it's a guest that's known 5 minutes before we start the show. It all depends on how well I've planned for that week. But check that out. That's all the stuff I'm doing online. I'm sure there's more. Yes, there's more. That's right, because I just recorded an episode yesterday. I also host Beyond the Bells for Women's Wrestling Army. That's on Pro Wrestling TV, so check that show out as well. I host that with Alyssa Marino. And so
she's great.
She is so great. She is such a pro at what she does that she just makes me look like an amateur sitting next to her. But I'm still proud to sit next to Alyssa every week or every other week. We kind of do that one bi-weekly as well. Check that out, though.
Check it out, guys. Will be back here on Monday as well. But this week, we're going to have a lot of cool stuff for you. I interviewed Sean Oliver, who was one of my inspirations of interviewing, period. Like, I spoke to him. We're going to have a lot of cool stuff coming up. By the way, that FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 you're going to spend in pro wrestling. I know a lot of you signed up for the gossip of last month, but we got a lot of good stuff. It's accurate stuff as well. FightfulSelect.com. And in addition to it's always at least two exclusive news posts a day. We got about 25 shows a month as well, all for $5. Greatly appreciate it. I think next week when I'm in Toronto, Jimmy's going to do a Q&A as well. So you'll probably have Ask Rhapsody as well as a Jimmy Q&A. So check it out. FightfulSelect.com. I think we have one more super chat. Ryan says, do you think the Bray Wyatt return at Extreme Rules via a physical angle or a vignette? So one of my sources kind of like backed off of the reveal as to a reveal that should give you like that is supposed to display something and let you know exactly who it is type of thing. But with this thing, who the hell knows? It'll probably be some damn QR code that sends us to Saudi Arabia or something like that. But guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow. But I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.